Shut up. Here we go. Here we go. This is Felger and Mass.
Yeah, Rex Ryan here.
I hate guests.
Yep.
There's no reason to touch them.
Keep it in your pants.
Why would you do that? Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Hello, Zachary.
Hey, I was wondering, what do you guys think about the Patriots using the draft to stock up on the defense the next couple of years after Brady leaves and using free agency to get the next coming quarterback to keep that fire in Brady that Garoppolo had on him?
Okay, so who do you want in free agency?
Well, you got McCarron's, Bridgewater, young but somewhat experienced quarterbacks.
All right. I mean, let me ask, because that is an option. I'm glad you didn't say Cousins, because they're not going to go spend, you know, $140 million on a quarterback. But if Bridgewater or McCarron...
In a perfect world, it'd be A.J. McCarron. But he's going to get like $20-25 bucks as a free agent.
He is?
Yeah. Look, I mean, if...
I think Murray's right. I think all these guys are going to get starting jobs.
If that stiff Brock Osweiler and Mike Glennon, who was just in a year in Chicago and just got cut, $17 and $18 million guaranteed up front, McCarron, who nearly won a playoff game with the effing Cincinnati Bengals, he's going to get $20-25 million bucks. He's absolutely going to get that kind of money.
So then, no. I mean, the answer is no. If you're telling me you can get someone here for a couple million bucks, you know, Teddy Bridgewater on two, you know, under $5 million for the next couple of years, yeah. And that instead of a draft pick, and you really believe in Teddy Bridgewater and Bill's making that call, sure, why not?
Yeah, I'd be for it. I just think that the market's going to be too rich there. Because, you know, whether it's Bridgewater or even Case Keenum, there are teams that are so bad at QB that they're going to look at those guys and say, we'll take a shot.
How about Manziel?
You know what? I would do that.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
I would.
You're serious.
If he's that dedicated.
You just want to do drugs with him, Murray. Would you be honest?
I mean, you're one to talk. Are we going to go out Tuesday night and get after it so I can be face down on my computer the next day? No, Manziel, I'm biased because I loved him at college. I thought he was extremely entertaining to watch. He single-handedly basically beat Alabama in 2012. There's potential there. And if they can bring in a hack like Tim Tebow, who throws a football like it's a full can of paint, why not take a flyer on Manziel if he's dedicated and say he'll play for free, which he wouldn't do, but
so
it was short money.
Let's say Manziel's clean, sober, and dedicated. Is he an NFL quarterback? Are you sure of that?
I don't know, but you know what? I'll take a shot. For nothing? Why not? And again, I get the sense, and there's no way to know this for sure, but I get the sense that, you know, if McDaniels is the next guy, that McDaniels wouldn't mind a quarterback who's a little more mobile than Brady is.
Well, McDaniels is not afraid of crappy quarterbacks. I think that's been proven with your Tebow point.
But I also think that, I don't know, something, and I don't know why I think this. I don't know if I read it somewhere or saw it or what, but I think McDaniels, like the idea of having a mobile quarterback, I think McDaniels like would get off to that.
Here's Max in the truck. Go ahead, Max. What do you got?
Hey, guys. Thanks for taking my call. Can you guys see the Patriots taking a look at Muhammad Wilkerson? And give me Tlaib or Richard Sherman. I love either one of those guys. They bring swagger to the defense. We need help on the defense. Thanks for taking my call.
Okay. Yeah, again, I just think they should be in the market for these kind of players. They should be. If you're gonna just so blatantly front-load your window, then you got to be consistent and front-load the window and maximize the window. That was a cliche. We've been saying it for 5 years, 10 years, maximize the Brady window. Like, who, like just not thinking he'd last this long. So it's been a cliche. We've been saying it, but now it's real. Like, now it's real. You had a 10-year plan here, and you gave up on it. So now you got to give Brady his guys and be as good as you can be in the next couple of years. I personally would be afraid of Muhammad Wilkerson. I don't know why I'm more afraid of that defensive lineman versus the corner. But, see, I think you're closer on the pass rush than people realize. I think Flowers is a terrific player. I think Dedrick Wise has promise. And
well, this kid Rivers, before he got hurt, was popping in training camp.
So, again, you know, that's I was going to put him on the list, but he's got much, much more to prove. But I think between Flowers and Wise, like, that's a little foundation for getting after the quarterback there. I mean, you're okay there.
I mean, again, to me, you can also scheme that. Right, you can, like I believe in that. They've been able to do that in other years. How many years did they win where we said they don't have a pass rush? A lot of times he doesn't believe in it anyway.
That's right.
But the linebacking core is a problem because they don't have players. And at corner, you can't get by without talent.
It would just be a shame. You don't let Jimmy Garoppolo go and keep Tom Brady and then start your year at corner with Jonathan Jones or Cyrus Jones. When there's a guy like Aqib Talib or Richard Sherman sitting out there for you, that's just not consistent. It doesn't make sense if they did it that way. Jeff, in Plymouth, what do you got for us on the Rick Pitino rant?
I think you're missing two major points about sort of the horrible parts about him. Is number one,
right now he's a borderline criminal. And number two, what he did as far as, you know, insisting that he became the president and pushing Red to the side, I will never forgive that man.
Yeah, so it was beyond him just bollocksing up the roster. I mean, it was a path of destruction.
Oh, it was. He destroyed the organization. I mean, all the way across. And I don't remember all the particulars of the Red thing, but, you know, it may have been time there to sort of make a change anyway. But if you're going to come in and do the job, do the job. My bigger gripe is he didn't do the job.
I mean, that's fair, right? I mean, at the time, Rick Pitino was the hottest commodity in coaching. So would you expect him to come in and answer to somebody else? I mean, that's not the way it works, right? So, I mean, they should have given it to him. I mean, that's the whole idea. If you want Red to still make the calls, then bring in anybody under Red.
I mean, otherwise, you got Red looking over your shoulder. Right. Like, that's not a great environment either.
You're actually right about that. But wasn't Pitino sort of classless about it? Didn't he?
He's classless, period. When's he done anything with any tact? So I would say, again, I don't remember the particulars.
There was something about where he sat at the podium or where he sat. Like, I can't remember now. It was 18 years ago, but I remember there's something in the transition that wasn't done with the greatest of class by Pitino.
He was incompetent. He was incompetent. That is where, to me, the bigger issue is. If you come in and you're an a-hole, fine, be an a-hole, but you better win. And he didn't win. He sucked.
We've got Jared in the truck on the Pats. Hi, Jared.
Yeah, just curious. Would you rather let Gronk go to the WWE and sign to elite defensive plays, like a Sherman and maybe a linebacker to keep up with a Landon Roberts?
Jared, it's not a horrible, you know, I mean, they should be able to do all of it. They should be able to bring back Gronkowski and go get those elite defensive players. So that's the real answer. Keep them all.
If Gronk wants to play, I'm keeping Gronk.
Yes. Period. Story over. Absolutely.
I'm keeping Gronk. And again, look, as good as those other guys are, Gronk's a known commodity, save for the injury. You know, there's not going to be any sort of, like, shenanigans with Gronk other than the usual harmless stuff. But there's no serious, you know, and even Sherman, I guess, right? Ultimately, it's just him flapping his gums. But with Tlaib...
There's an element of danger.
Yeah.
There is. Again, roll him up.
Yeah.
It's perilous. It is. He's a perilous proposition.
Chris in Sudbury, on Aqib Tlaib. Hi, Chris.
Give me Tlaib every single day of the week. He's plays corner like a gangster, and he's basically Brandon Browner, but better. And just imagine him going against the Pittsburgh receivers like Juju and all those guys. They need that. And I would love Murray to hang out with him, too.
I'd love to hang out with him. I find him extremely entertaining.
I just think that Tlaib is just, again, if you were to build the perfect corner's body, you know, remember they put him on Jimmy Graham?
Sure.
They put him on Julio Jones. He could cover big tight ends, at least in short bursts. He could cover big receivers. So maybe the small, shifty Julian Edelman type would give him some trouble, right? Certainly there is that possibility. And was it Welker that took him out in the game against Denver?
As Bill said, right? Dirtiest plays I've ever seen.
Okay, so but I just think Tlaib is a badass. He is as nasty as other guys are back there, but he's got the quickness and the athleticism to cover. And so, now again, there's a danger.
There's an element there.
As Murray says, an element of real danger.
Steve in West Roxbury. Hi, Steve.
Steve, this is Steve White. Hey, why can't you sign Sherman and Tlaib? They have enough cap money.
They do, but I don't think it fits, Steve. If you still have Stephon Gilmore here, you don't want. That's a waste paying one of those guys $10 million a year to play in the slot or whatever you're going to pay him. Like, you don't bring in Aqib Tlaib to play him in the slot or Richard Sherman to play him in the slot. You don't. That's where you can save some money. That's where you have a good young player. That's where you put Eric Rowe or Jonathan Jones or one of those guys that should have. You don't need to do that.
And if you were worried at all about the sideshow, you're going to have them both here.
Oh my God!
Like, you talk about what your locker room would become with those two guys in it. Holy crap. You have microphones and handguns all over the place.
Sean in the car, go.
Yeah, so interior linemen on the Patriots this year, we had 53 sacks. Only 9.5 came from the interior linemen. Why wouldn't we at least look at Muhammad Wilkerson, give him an incentive-based contract, and see what he can do out there?
Okay.
Thanks for the time.
Again, I don't know why he scares me. And he shouldn't because, I mean, he dogged it. He scares me because he just shut it down with the Jets. I mean, worse than Revis ever did, worse than any, like, he stopped going to meetings. He stopped showing up to practice. Like, I don't have to do these things. And just, he got that.
He already proved it with the Jets. He got a mountain of money a couple of years ago, and he shut it down.
I mean, completely shut it down. But again, LeGarrette Blount quit on the Pittsburgh Steelers and came here and was fine. And Martellus Bennett quit on the Packers and came here, and you thought he was going to be fine. You never found out because he got hurt immediately.
But he had quit on the Bears and Dallas and anywhere else.
So, I mean, Randy Moss is one of the great quitters of our generation, and he gave you a year. So you've taken on quitters in the past.
He is a monster. He's only 28 years old, 315 pounds, 6'4".
I mean, he's only 28?
Yeah. Yeah.
So, I mean, maybe so. Like, I'm just telling you, there's just something. He scares me, but that's the kind of move they should be making. It is taking a chance on a guy like that with huge upside who's there for you, and if he just has his head screwed on straight is a massive factor. Like, they should be in on players like that.
So these kinds of moves, and I'm not disputing that they should be in on them, are going to come down to what they always come down to with them. Who's willing to take the good deal? And I mean the team deal.
Well, but that's not what they did last year. Gilmore.
Yeah,
was,
but how often do they do that?
I'm telling you, they have to be in this mode now the next couple of years where that's how they operate.
So I'll believe it when I see it. But I'm you know, they're not going to have to pay out the nose like they did for Gilmore on some of these guys.
No, that's just it. That's just it. They should come at discounts.
Stay tuned for more Felger and Mass on 98.5 The Sports Hub.
I like anti-competitive. Stupid. They're so stupid.
98.5 The Sports Hub.
Now, there's been a lot of questions surrounding Rob Gronkowski right now. Is he, A, going to be back in the NFL? Is he, B, going to be playing for the Patriots? What are you hearing about Gronk?
Was there ever a question that he wasn't going to be back next year?
That's what the Twitter machine has been telling us.
Twitter machine tells us a lot of things, right?
and a lot of times
they don't turn out to be necessarily true. Again, I think he's still in the prime of his career. I think he's got football left, and I think that you'll see him back next year.
So I'm going to give Adam Schefter more yank than I am Ian Rappaport, because I just think Schefter gets more stuff and better stuff. And so when Schefter says it, that brings me closer to thinking Gronkowski's going to come back, for sure. I'm still not at 100% because it still feels like that's the team perspective. And when you mentioned this before, you make a great point. When Adam Schefter smugly, you know, is still at this smug sort of attitude.
Was there ever a question that he wasn't going to be back next year?
Whoever said he wasn't coming back? Who said that, Maz?
Gronk. Gronk did.
Gronk himself said it.
After the story broke the night of the Super Bowl, and after the game he was asked about it, and he said he was going to assess the situation. I mean, where's the gray area there? We wouldn't be talking about it at all if Gronk didn't address it after the Super Bowl.
So I think you're right. I think Schefty and Rappaport have a little thing, so maybe that was a shot at Rappaport. Like, oh,
who's saying these things? He's coming back.
It does. It totally feels that way. So the only thing I wonder now is, you know, he said this to who? A Patriots.com reporter.
Correctamundo.
So the Patriots are putting it on their website.
Correctamundo.
They're putting Adam Schefter on their website.
Correct. Saying that Gronkowski's going to be back.
Right, and they understand Adam Schefter's credibility. So is this the Patriots saying, Gronk's full of crap, he's coming back, he's yanking all you guys around, we can't come out and say it because we, you know, because Gronk can always make his own decisions, so we're not going to say it, but here's the reality of it. Stop talking about Gronk and the WWE. I mean, I think there's that possibility that that's what this is.
Of course there's that possibility.
So, but until we hear it from Gronk's mouth.
Right.
And again, maybe it's a contract play. Maybe he wants money out of it, and the Patriots are, you know, digging in their heels and, no, go ahead, quit. You want to quit? Go ahead and quit because they know we want. I don't know. But until Gronk says, yep, I'm back, then I think the story lives.
And I'm with Maz on this, too. And you even mentioned in Greg Bedard's article on Boston Sports Journal yesterday, he thinks this is something that could go on all the way up until training camp. And I do, too. Like, he can change his mind at the last second, just like Josh McDaniels did, even though he's training right now. Mark Daniels Projo yesterday saying, hey, everything seems on track for Gronk. What's to say he's not training to be a WWE wrestler? Still going to use your body, right? Like, until he's back, or they rip up the contract and give him a new deal, I still think he could be gone.
Okay, so that's on the board along with everything else. Shane in the car with the Patriots thought. Hi, Shane.
Hey, good evening, fellas. So Nate Solder is an impending free agent, correct?
Yep.
So I think he's above average at best, but I think the Pats have great continuity at the left back position, which is important, especially protecting Brady. So I was just wondering, do you guys think he's going to take a hometown discount to stay here? He's been here for a long time. And so I'll hang up, let you guys answer that.
So to me, the more interesting way to look at it, I don't know what Solder will do.
There was an update from Jeff Howe today who tweeted he does indeed plan to continue playing football, per sources. There had been speculation over potential retirement. Negotiations with the Patriots haven't started yet.
Okay. Would you extend to re-sign Nate Solder?
I would.
Extend, like, you
would
know.
Would you extend yourself, whatever that is? $6 million instead of four, seven instead of three? Would you extend yourself to, you know, for what it took to get Nate Solder?
Some. Yeah. Some I would. But again, like if you're talking about going to a ridiculous level, no, I don't.
See, I'm not. I don't think so. I mean, is he?
So what? He's above average.
Is he above average or average?
No, he's above average.
He's above average.
Yeah.
Okay.
I just don't like the prospect of having to find a replacement. What's that going to cost you?
Well, they drafted a kid last year who they love,
who has
blood clots in his lungs.
Blood clots, right?
Right, yes. And lost 40 pounds.
That's not a great.
With a 41-year-old quarterback, you have to protect Brady. Again, this is about now you have to do everything in your power.
I guess you're right. If you're going to go all in on Brady, you got to bring back his left tackle.
Yeah. No, Solder, I think, is behind Gronk is the most important thing they got to handle with their internally.
You might be right. I mean, look, again, if that's your philosophy, you're going to go push all your chips into the middle on Brady. You got to bring back his tight end. You got to bring back his left tackle. You got to bring back his favorite receivers.
So, look, I don't want to say you use this against him, but I think – you know, given the issues Solder has had with his children and or his, you know, I don't remember if it's a son or a daughter who's had all kinds of medical problems, he probably wants to stay here, right? I mean, he probably wants to stay here. He can get great medical care here. He doesn't have to uproot his family. So all things being equal.
Make it worth his while to stay.
Sure, right. Like, don't take advantage of him for it, but I don't think you're going to have to break the bank to keep him.
Here's Tom in Connecticut. Go ahead, Tom.
Hey, Mike, how you doing? You going to the game tonight?
I'm not going to go to the game. Nope. I'm here right now, though.
Okay.
What do you got?
Well, anyways, what I was going to mention, it should be a great game, although I give the edge to Boston because Murray's not going to be in the goal, and they're not the same team without him. I wanted to give a shout-out to Mike Sullivan, the local boy, BU grad. I think he's clearly the best coach right now in the NHL without any question.
Tom.
And the other thing I wanted to mention, you've always mentioned that the Stanley Cup is the most difficult trophy of all sports to win. One thing that's gone under the radar, I just wanted to get your feedback when I hang up, is can you think of an athlete in a team sport that's had a better run of 18 months, basically a year and a half starting in January of 2016, Sidney Crosby won the Stanley Cup, Conn Smythe winner, captain of his team, went to the World Cup without any...
I'm not giving you any more time on Sidney Crosby. We got it. He's great. On Mike Sullivan, can I just... He deserves credit when they made the coaching change there midway through 2 years ago, and then I think he's won both these cups. So the coaching obviously was a big difference there because the previous coach, I can't remember who it was.
Bylsma, wasn't it?
No. There was someone between Bylsma and I can't remember. But I can't remember who the guy was in between them. But when they axed the coach, Sullivan took over, they won a cup, and they won again. So obviously full credit to Mike Sullivan. Their power play is Sidney Crosby, Evgeny Malkin, Phil Kessel, Letang, and Hornquist in front of the net, who you may not know but is sort of a force. If I gave Maz Crosby, Malkin, Kessel, Letang on a power play,
we dominate.
I don't care. And you were the coach? I think the puck would go in the net. So it's like...
Move your feet, boys. Pass the puck.
The Penguins have gotten to a talent level where I think it's kind of silly to talk about the coach. It's not about the coach there. It's just not.
Even Claude couldn't slow that down.
I would like to think.
Mike Johnson failed, so there's that.
So Mike Johnson is the guy. Mike Johnson was the one before Mike Sullivan. So Sullivan makes a difference. I'm not, you know, Johnson couldn't do it. But come on. Chris in New Hampshire. Hi, Chris.
Hello.
Hello. What do you got?
I just sorry to change subjects on you, but just wondering what you thought of if Aqib Talib was taken back to the Patriots. I don't know if they'd want to take him back or they'd go with Sherman.
Okay, we've sort of been talking about that all day. I think both would be welcome. I think there'd be a place for both. I don't think Talib, even though he left for a money issue, I mean, the Pats had Revis in their back pocket, obviously, and so it didn't seem to be any hard feelings on that one. So I think there's a place for Talib if he comes back, providing he doesn't shoot himself and or anyone else. And I think there's a place for Sherman. The Patriots called on Sherman last year. So nothing has changed, you know, really from that end that would disabuse him of Richard Sherman. I think they both have a place here.
I told you I'd go Talib first, but I bet you Sherman will be cheaper. I bet you Sherman will be cheaper.
Because of the Achilles stuff.
Yeah, and look, I mean, say what you want. Tlaib is going to be a free agent effectively here because Denver's not going to want to pay him 11, but on the open market, on a short-term deal, I'd give him 11.
Paul in the car on Rick Pitino 18 years ago tonight. Hi, Paul.
Rick Pitino, I have such an unhealthy hate for that bastard. I'll tell you what, he took the thing I loved as a child and turned it into an absolute dumpster fire. He had 5 top picks in the 10, and he couldn't do anything with them but trade 2 of them halfway through the year. He's jettisoned Red Auerbach from the organization. He barely got lucky to Paul Pierce. He probably pulled that name out of a hat.
So look, as we've discussed, and I think Maz made a good point, it is on his record that he axed, you know, Red. He forced Red out. But if we're being fair, that's what he should have done. Like, that's what that when you sign that hot guy, he has to run the program. Like, this is the whole reason Belichick left the Jets, because he didn't want Parcells standing over his shoulder. And, you know, who really has final say and who has the call?
There eventually has to be a reset. Things have to be different, Red Sox.
So, look, so I you know, in hindsight, I've never thought about it till you said it, Maz, but in hindsight, Pitino should have taken over for Red. Like, that's just the way it goes, okay? The story is that he sucked.
No, that's what it is. He didn't live up to the billing. So, and we pointed this out earlier, when you go through the list of guys that they drafted while he was here, Chauncey Billups, you know, and I'll just read them all. Chauncey Billups, Ron Mercer, Paul Pierce, Chris Clack, Jerome Moiso, Joe Jensen, Kedrick Brown. But in that group,
Joe Johnson.
Yeah, what'd I say?
Jensen.
Oh, Joe Johnson. In that group, you have Johnson, Pierce, and Billups.
If he had just kept his picks, if he had just kept Pierce... I mean, which he did. If he kept Billups, Pierce, and Joe Johnson, that's not a championship team, but that's a pretty good team.
It's a winning team.
It's definitely a winning team.
He was here, I think he was in the NBA for 6 seasons, Pitino. He had 1 winning year. 1 with the Knicks, where they went 52-30, I think it was. Other than that, he was a disaster as an NBA coach.
But,
a freaking disaster.
But it's not when people say he couldn't pick anyone. It's just not true. He picked 3 players that if he had just kept... would have been the nucleus of a pretty good team. He just was so impatient.
He was. He did not manage the cap. He did a brutal job in free agency, and he was wildly impatient. He wanted it to happen now, and in that league, as we've learned with Ainge, you can't do it that way.
Again, Rick Pitino, 18 years ago tonight. We don't mean to like treat this an anniversary like, you know, D-Day or something, but I don't mean to keep doing
it
that.
It is worthy to be played again.
But it is. It's worthy of a replay.
And all this negativity that's in this town sucks.
Thank you, Rick. One of the all-timers. One of the all-time great lines in Boston sports history. We'll give you the full rant right after Murray's update here.
Michael Felger, Tony Maserati, Felger and Maz. You're listening to Felger and Maz.
Doesn't always have to be ha-ha-hee-hee.
Oh, love it.
98.5, the Sports Hub.
Does the negativity in this town, is it still too negative?
No.
No.
And does it suck?
No. No. It'll never suck.
Am I asking the wrong people?
Yes.
Yeah.
But look, back then, again, you know, it's, first of all, it's different now. There's no way it's the same. Back then, Boston hadn't won a championship basically for 15 years, which, given what we've endured what we've experienced in the last 15, is like unheard of. You know, Boston's won so many titles here. 10 it is, I think, in the last 15 years, that to imagine 0 over essentially the same length of time is just unheard of. And at that time, people were agitated. And as I, you know, people have noted this many times before, but it's a tough place to lose. It is. It's also a great place to win. And those go hand in hand because you get the extremes. And so Rick Pitino lost. So screw him. That's your problem, pal. Win, and you'll celebrate this as the greatest place on earth in terms of sports towns. So now, compared to then, oh, God, we've been neutered, if you ask me.
See, I think there's a healthy balance, and we'll talk about it tomorrow. We haven't been neutered because the Pats were going for their 6th championship. I'm talking about getting greedy. 6th. They've had 5.
Yeah, I'm talking relatively speaking.
Well, no, but they're going for 6, not going for 1. It's not like they haven't won in 86 years. They've already won 5, and Bill screws something up, and he gets hammered. Hammered. And I think that's healthy. Like, I look at that, and I go, good job, Boston. There's still enough negativity to make it interesting. Because trust me, and I'm from another place in the country, and I've been in other places in the country. If you go to other places of the country where there isn't that undercurrent, that bite, it's not nearly as interesting. It's not, and the sports town isn't nearly as good. You need it. You need it. You may not think you need it. You may hate it when you hear it. But trust me, if you don't have it, you'll miss it. You need Shaughnessy. You need Felger and Maz. I keep saying that. You do. And not that we're the bastions of negativity or like the standard. I'm just saying you need all of it. You need all kinds. You need all sides of it. And without it, it's not nearly as interesting. Trust me on that.
Well, it keeps, I think, you know, with a show like this and guys like Shaughnessy, it keeps the teams in check. Because, look, without getting into the details, you guys know, like in the last, with all the success with all these teams in the last, near couple of decades, some of these teams, I think, have gotten a little fat and a little, oh, how come you have to question everything? How come you have to be so negative? Everything's been so good. Why does it always have to be like this? Because people care.
You know who disappointed me was the Philadelphia media. Philadelphia's supposed to be tough and vicious. Did you encounter one single Philly media person that picked against the Eagles?
No, but they were right.
They were right, but, that's unhealthy. When the Patriots go to the Super Bowl, every year, there's someone who picks against them. You, last week, Maz. But, when the Patriots first made that one against, Borges had them losing 73-0. There's always a Borges somewhere or a Maserati or a Shaughnessy or a Felger to say, no, they're actually going to lose this one. In Philly, there wasn't a single guy. And they're supposed to be tough, trolls, agitators. They were all like, wee! Fly Eagles, like all of them, all these tough Philly media people, every single one of them.
It did feel toothless that week.
Didn't it?
Yeah.
Oh, totally, yeah.
Like, they disappointed me. Like, where's your Shaughnessy? Where's your Borges? Where are all your tough guys? The tough guys go against the local teams. They don't just rip opponents. Like, that's easy.
No, they had bought in. Again, I don't know, maybe it speaks to that Eagles team that it went to that degree that they were so convincing that, and there was a vibe about them that they all bought in. They all believed in it.
Well,
I'm just telling you that, the Belichick thing, I never said, when I say neutered, I mean relatively speaking. If Belichick, if that decision had happened 18 years ago, he'd have been fired.
Yeah, no, that's true.
He'd have been fired.
Okay, so more on that tomorrow. More on that tonight on the Arbella Early Edition on NBC Sports Boston starting at 6 o'clock. You want the full Patino from 18 years ago tonight?
Sure.
It's worth it. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Well, we've played hard the whole year. We're going to be positive every day. You're the people being negative, being some of the fans. Larry Bird's not walking through that door, fans. Kevin McHale's not walking through that door, and Robert Parrish is not walking through that door. And if you expect them to walk through the door, they're going to be gray and old. What we are is young, exciting, hardworking, and going to improve. People don't realize that. And as soon as they realize that those three guys are not coming through that door, the better this town will be for all of us. Because they're young guys in that room playing their asses off. I wish we had $90 million under the salary cap. Wish we could buy the world. We can't. The only thing we can do is work hard. And all this negativity that's in this town sucks. And I've been around, and when Jim Rice was booed, I've been around with Yastrzemski booed, and it stinks. It makes the greatest town, greatest city in the world lousy. The only thing going to turn this around is being upbeat and positive like we are in that locker room. So if you think that we're not coming to play against the Toronto Raptors, you're mistaken. Only we're not coming to play with Bird, McHale, and Parrish, or Cousy or Russell. We're coming with young guys who want to get better, want to play the game. And we're going to stay positive all the way through. And if you think I'm going to succumb to negativity, you're wrong. You got the wrong guy leading this basketball team.
You fraud. Seriously, you fraud. I wish we were $90 million under the cap. If you were, you would have screwed it up anyway because you didn't know how to spend it. You total fraud. Is this the same one, the same rant where he started saying that? I'm not talking about the people on the radio who have no clue what life's about. Remember that?
Was that part of that?
I think so. I think that went on. He just went on and on and on.
It makes so much sense to hear now, near 20 years later, with everything that happened to him at Louisville. It's a guy that doesn't want to deal with accountability. He doesn't want checks and balances. He just wants to be unquestioned with every single move and everything that happens.
Typical college coach,
yeah.
Murray. King of the castle, I rule, shut up, what I say
okay,
goes.
And here's an example.
If he were under the cap $90 million, wouldn't he just spend it on prostitutes?
Strong to quite strong take. The thing is, so that's why, because in college, in these college towns, there's no negativity. You don't get there's any pushback. There's no.
It's all rah rah shit.
It's all rah rah crap. It is, and they're not good sports towns. And he's not. So he comes to a place where there's actually analysis and critical commentary, and he can't handle it. Can't take it. And so it's sort of why it's important.
I just think Pitino's one of the great frauds of all time.
But you know what? Sometimes I was listening to that. You know, he says, you know, I was here when Yastrzemski got booed and Rice got booed. That sounded like Price the other day. You're talking about, you know, to J.D. Martinez. Man, I've seen David Ortiz get booed here, which is just so weaselly because you don't care, Rick.
All right, did it bother you then? Please.
You don't care that Jim Rice got booed. And just like David Price doesn't care that David Ortiz got booed. David Price hates David Ortiz.
Right.
He doesn't care that he got booed. It's just a way to whine and cry about the fact that you're getting your ass booed. That's all that is.
Yeah, and I would say, yeah, you're right. Yaz and Rice did. They both got booed because they didn't win either. Like, that's exactly. It comes with the territory, pal. Welcome to the real world. Like, this isn't Louisville, Kentucky, or, you know, some other Hooterville town where the college coach shows up and they have a parade and give him everything he wants. Sorry, no, you were entrusted with the most decorated franchise in basketball. At that time, the idea was that you were going to rebuild it to greatness, and somehow, incredibly, you left it in worse shape than you found it. That's the part that gets swept under the rug. They handed him over this operation that was in disarray and ruin, and he left it worse than it was when he got here. Fraud. Total fraud. Complete total fraud. You're a college coach. That's all you ever were. And so don't think you somehow morphed into something else because you didn't.
Okay, folks, we're giving you bonus time here on Felger and Maz tonight. Felger and Maz goes to 6:30. We'll take it right up until the pregame, the Bruins pregame, at 6:30. So Felger and Maz goes till 6:30. If you're hanging on the line right now, stay there because we will take your calls again all the way up to 6:30. So that's just a little bonus there for you. 617-779-0985. There's a couple open lines if you want to grab them. We'll start taking them now. Rick in Roxbury, you got a thought on Rick Pitino?
Yes, I have a thought. I mean, he wasn't lying when he said they wasn't walking through the door. We was rebuilding, right?
Right.
I mean, it's not his fault.
So look, if you're trying to make the point that fans had a certain standard here because of all the winning, and it was just a different time. I mean, he had a point there to a level, but that doesn't explain away the fact that he drafted Chauncey Billups, Joe Johnson, and Paul Pierson. If he had just kept them all, he would have had a decent team.
Right, and he traded two of them away. And so, like, again, look, use Ainge as the comp.
Use this current team as a comp. Celtics fans are exceedingly patient and forgiving. Exceedingly. They will overrate their players and glom onto their players and overrate their chances more than any other fan base in town. That shows you how awful Rick Pitino was, that they weren't even buying his crap. And they'll buy anything. They will chant MVP at Isaiah Thomas, and they will tell you Jay Crowder is the best role player in the league. That's how much the Celtics fans are willing to buy into their team. And even Rick Pitino couldn't get him.
Look, a year after he made this, or he had this rant, a year later, he got fired. He put his tail between his legs. He ran back to Louisville and started breaking all kinds of laws and rules. And he never has been back in the NBA since. So that should tell you plenty. He was a colossal failure. And I say use Ainge as a comp. Ainge came in with a decrepit operation, but at least he has demonstrated patience to rebuild it.
And the fans are patient along with him.
Absolutely. I mean, absolutely. I just think, really, that Pitino thing, you want to talk about dark days in Celtic history?
Oh.
Those are right up there. He destroyed the franchise.
Blowtorched this thing. David in the van on the Patriots. Hi, David.
Hey, how you doing, guys? Hey, just to switch things up, I know you guys are talking about a cornerback and a pass rusher, but I was reading about Preston Brown from Buffalo and led the league in tackles and stuff, and I don't know much about him. So I figured I'd run that by you guys, hang up, and listen to what you say about him.
Yeah, go read his quotes. Again, Jeff Howe had this in the Herald. Go read his quotes. He knows your defense. He knows your calls. He knows every play from the Super Bowl. He knows what kind of routes that Chris Hogan run. This guy is so horny to become a Patriot.
He may as well be outside Gillette with a sign.
His quotes today were embarrassing. The amount of ass kissing he did to the Patriots and the organization, how badly he even said wistfully, you know, it seems like a lot of Bills have gone down there and they've all gone to either the Pro Bowl or the Super Bowl. I'm thinking I can be one of those guys. Like, he's openly lobbying to come to the Patriots.
Yeah, good enough for me. Bring him in.
Absolutely. Can he run?
I don't know.
How old is he?
He can't. He's 26. He 25. He can't be any worse than the garbage they've had. How can he be worse than the garbage they've had at linebacker? He was a third-round pick, you know, 4 years ago. He'll turn 26. Actually, he's 25 and a half. He'll turn 26 in October. He hasn't missed a game in 4 years in the league, which they love. 6'1", 250. I'm in. Bring him in.
Yep.
I'm all for it.
Okay.
Anybody who's not a Landon Roberts, Kyle Van Noy, Shay McClellan, Eric Lee, or Marquise Flowers, or some other hack that they picked up off a street corner at linebacker, I'm in.
You're listening to Felger and Mass on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
Blood force trauma running right down their throat.
Felger.
I'm a hypocrite.
Mass.
Who cares?
Felger and Mass, 98.5, the Sports Hub. Felger's expert analysis.
Not from this talk radio crazy.
Maz's hard-hitting questions.
What am I, like the freaking abrasive police here?
The caller's bringing knowledge to the table.
Maz, the adults are talking.
It's time to recap this four-hour show in 4 minutes. It's the final word on Felger and Maz on 98.5, the Sports Hub.
And the final word is brought to you by Town Fair Tire. If you're looking for the best deal on tires, only one place to go, Town Fair Tire. The best prices, great free services. Nobody beats Town Fair Tire. Nobody.
I would just like to remind people, Felger and Maz going to 6:30 tonight. So we're not going off the air here in 2 minutes. We're going off the air in 32 minutes. So stick around after the final word, after the top of the hour. We'll get right back to your call. So just sit there on the board. What do we got, Murray?
First up, I got my balls busted during a headline today. Headline update for butchering a name.
Well, it just sounded obscene. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
So the Bruins are back in action tonight. Should be a good one as they host the Pittsburgh Penguins here at TD Garden. It looks like there's also going to be some lineup changes for the Bees ahead of this game as Brian Giunta is on the third line in place of Danton Heinen and the recently acquired Nick Holden.
Jimmy Murray, how are you pronouncing that?
Giunta?
You're saying Giunta?
How am I supposed to say
Giunta?
Giunta, tomato, tomato.
Don't get aggravated. No, get aggravated. But Giunta?
Giunta.
Giunta. It sounds a little... It doesn't sound right.
Well, because there is a version that's spelled with a U. That's Giunta.
Giunta.
But this is Giunta.
All right, how about this then? The old stiff that was just playing on Team USA, he's going to be on the third line tonight in place of Danton Heinen. The recently acquired Nick Holden is going to be in while Matt Greslick is out. Am I saying that one correctly?
Yeah, and the way it's going, combined, they're going to have 5 goals tonight.
Kyrie Irving scored 34 points in the first 3 quarters. I'll spell it out phonetically next time.
Giunta. Sounds dirty. Giunta.
Sat out the fourth with the rest of... This is just the worst. Sat out the fourth with the rest of the starters. Celtics routed the Charlotte Hornets 134-106 last night. Head coach Brad Stevens also said Daniel Tice...
played Giunta on the power play.
According to Ben Volen of the Boston Globe, Patriots have traded tight end Michael Humanawanawi, quarterback Teddy Bridgewater. Head coach Jason Garrett is saying Providence versus Miami of Ohio. Miami. Quarterback Drew Brees. Celtics, Hawks, excuse me. Game 5 tonight in Atlanta as the series is... Jeez.
So good luck, fella.
Thanks, Jimmy Stewart. Good to have you back.
Awesome.
Jim Murray's greatest hits.
Giunta.
Jason Garrett, the head coach of the Dallas Cowboys. All right, Felger also had it with a certain caller today, crowbarring and Peter Chiarelli bashing with seemingly every phone
good.
Call.
Mike and Woburn on the Bruins. Go ahead, Michael.
The Tommy Wingles deal is a good deal. That's a deal that playoff teams make because they want to have experienced guys in those you know, pivotal bottom six roles. More interest. I'm not like the first one getting hurt and the Cascade getting the roster. I guess there's some reason why the other guys are not moving up. I guess Zarnik would be a guy that they would have that would fit right in that role. But if they have to send him down, they could lose him on waivers. So at least here's a positive aspect. At least this GM isn't patinoing the team like the previous guy did. By the way, you want to get positive? Go look at what happened in Edmonton in a year. In a year.
So let's not go back there. I know that you have your thing against Shirley. Let me just, Mike.
Let's not go back there because I was right to be negative for years, and you told me, "Oh, Mike, he's a good GM."
No, I never said that about Shirley. We've covered that. Mike, shut up! Your comment line says you're excited about the team. Why are you? I'm hanging up on him. We've heard you rag on Shirley 18 times in a row. We got it. And when did I ever defend Shirley? I hated that guy. Couldn't see him and Claude. They could have been out in the next bus. Why does Mike have to keep calling on that? From bore my listeners to death We're seeing on Shirelli. We got it, Mike. You were right. Shirelli sucked. We got it. Everyone agrees.
He's like Danny from Quincy. He's living in the past.
God.
Always calls about something 2 weeks ago.
Good God. It's true. It's true. He's going to launch into something about what Shirelli did on his third line and how he screwed up the fourth pairing defenseman that no one's ever heard of. It's exhausting.
That's his Freebird. Anytime Mike calls. Like you go to see Skinner, you want to hear Freebird. Mike calls, he's got to work in his Edmonton hating Shirelli thing.
Oh, he's got to chirp at me. He just wants to call him bicker with me, which is fine.
No, let's not go back there because I was right.
Oh, but it's got to be about something people care about. It can't be about Shirelli's move on the fourth line. Yeah. It can't.
Yeah, Felga.
Anyway, so is that?
That is that.
Okay.
Felger and Maz.